You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. It's day four of Royal Ascot. Dave Kellner, James Millman and John Bunnan will be in the studio. We've got plenty to look forward to at the Royal Meeting. We've also got Market Raisin and Red Car in the afternoon, Goodwood and Newmarket in the evening, and a couple of Irish meetings as well from Down Royal and Limerick. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Mark. Really enjoying this Royal Ascot Festival. Been superb the first 2 days.
It has. It's been cracking so far. We'll take this opportunity to have a quick look back at the second day as well while we're at it. And then we'll get Craig's best bets for day four of Royal Ascot. So just looking back at Wednesday's action, Craig. We'll start with the big winner on the day in the feature race, Free Eagle, winning the Prince of Wales Stakes. Got the better of incredibly unlucky the Grey Gatsby, really.
Yeah, he was unlucky, the Grey Gatsby, but take nothing away from the winner, Free Eagle. He was reappearing after a huge absence. He'd been off 242 days, and you know, he was coming back to quite a competitive Group 1 Prince of Wales Stakes. So, you know, I think full credit to Dermot Weld for producing the horse in A1 tip-top shape. And you know, he was slightly fortunate. He was always in the right place in the race, but it was still a great training performance to produce a horse to win such a race. The Grey Gatsby, you know, I didn't think Jamie Spencer did an awful lot wrong. He was blocked and he knew from stall one he had to get out off that rail. And after a furlong, you could actually see him trying to angle out. And the horses on the outside were keeping him in. And then when he entered the straight, he tried to make his move off that rail again. And the Japanese horse was leaning onto Ryan Moore. And again, he was blocked at that stage. And then it was Western him when he made his final move to get out. And Frankie Dettori that kept him in. So he made three good attempts to get out in acres of time, Mark. And it just didn't happen for him. It was racing. And he was very, very unlucky, the Grey Gatsby. He, you know, for me, he really needs lightning fast ground, which he got yesterday, to be at his best. And we've seen him bounce back from two poor performances earlier in the year in Dubai and at the Curragh. So great to see the Grey Gatsby back. A very, very unlucky loser.
Yeah, but like you say, take nothing away from Free Eagle.
Indeed.
It's a great training performance from Dermot Weld, because he's obviously had his problems. We've had the inkling that he's a high-quality horse all the way through, and he proved that, didn't he?
Indeed. You know, his performance last year at Ascot on ground, which you wouldn't have liked, marked him down as a high-class performer. And, you know, after a setback. You know, he had a setback leading into the race as well. A real good training performance.
It was. We saw a surprise winner of the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. Talking about training performances, not being with David O'Meara very long. Amazing Maria, 25-1 winner. What do you make of that?
Yeah, given a real confident ride by James Doyle, sat out the back. They didn't look to be going a real fast pace in the early stages. And to be honest, Amazing Maria looked like a horse that wasn't in love with racing at that stage of the race, I'll be honest, because she was carrying her head high. And when James Doyle asked her to quicken, she responded and taken fashion, Mark. The favourite, Integrio, travelled into the race, you know, as she normally does, a real strong traveller, but didn't find an awful lot for pressure. Maybe the £5 penalty was a stumbling block there, but Amazing Maria got the better of Rosina, who another one to bounce back to form, and I think she stood on a shoe. That was the reason she drifted in the closing stages of the race. But yeah, real good training performance. And David O'Meara, we know how good he is in the north, and he's gone down to Royal Ascot and claimed a Group 2.
A couple more winners on the meeting for Ryan Moore as well. He was on board Jim Hopkins in the Royal Hunt Cup, and a very impressive winner of the Queen Mary Stakes in the shape of Acapulco. That was quite a performance, wasn't it?
The race of the day for me yesterday, the Queen Mary. It was tremendous to watch. I mean, I've been a long time admirer of Eastern Angel ever since she made a real taking debut at Musselburgh. You know, the time of that race marked her down as a very smart filly, and she went to Beverly in the Hillary Needler and oozed class. You know, was held up. Paul Moran never went for his stick at any stage of that Beverly race, and she just oozed class. The second ran a mighty race from a bad draw in the Windsor Castle, and the form looked solid coming in to the Queen Mary. She herself was drawn in one, which didn't look ideal, but didn't matter where she was drawn in the track yesterday, she wouldn't have beat the impressive winner, Acapulco, who destroyed her field, really. It was one of the best Queen Mary performances I can remember, and I really feel for Michael Dodds and his team, whose filly has run a career best, improved massively again, and has just bumped into one. You know, pulled 2.5 lengths clear of the third that was unbeaten coming into the race. Two useful performances, the Willie Haggis filly, and has ended up second, beating 1.5 lengths. Tremendous renewal.
Mm, very good race, and bumped into an absolutely massive filly as well. She's huge, isn't she? Acapulco. One more just to touch on before we move on to the best of Friday's stuff. A Sailor winning the Sandringham purely because it's Frankie Dettori's 50th winner at the Royal Meeting. He's had a good time of things, hasn't he?
He has. He's had a real good season, Frankie Dettori. You know, number one jockey for Al Shakiba, who's liked to have winners at this meeting. He's, like I said, he's been in terrific form all season. And obviously the highlight being his success in the Derby. So he continues to be at the very top of his game. And obviously they were helped here by Always Smile drifting across in the latter stages of that race. And Osella kept straight. A 50th winner for Frankie.
Yeah. We might as well mention the other one as well, haven't we? We've done the other five races. Dutch Connection winning the Jersey Stakes.
Yep, good winner. Travelled well in the Guineas. Mark didn't see out the mile and probably come on for the... Well, definitely came on for the run. And, you know, Luke's a real 7-furlong specialist. Did the job well. The unlucky horse further back was Aidan O'Brien's Sir Isaac Newton. Didn't get a clear passage at any stage of that race. He's a horse, ideally, that we'd want a little bit further in time. So keep an eye on him. He will be winning races in the near future.
Right, let's leave that there. Then let's move on to Friday's action. Craig's going to look at the first four races at the Royal Meeting for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we're starting the 2:30 on Friday. This is the Albany Stakes, which is a fillies group 3 over 6 furlongs. It's for 2-year-old fillies as well. The betting headed by Illuminate, who's at 7-2. Back at the Ranch is 6-1. Laxfield Road, another at 6s. 8s for Spanish Romance. Shadihan is 10-1 with Our Joy and Tutu and Guru. 12-1 for Jersey Breeze, and 16s or bigger for the others. Who would you side with in the opening race on Friday?
Yeah, well, we talked about a 2-year-old looking like a 3-year-old and yesterday's Queen Mary, Mark. And I believe there's a 2-year-old in here who I've seen in the flesh. She already looks like a 3-year-old, and that's the horse number one, Asha Dean, for Kevin Ryan. She won on her only start at Haydock. She didn't get the clearest of passages in that race, but Jamie Spencer rode her with a huge amount of confidence. He didn't panic. He knew he was sitting on a very smart filly. And she quickened and pulled away from Martini Time, who looked a useful sort pre-race in the paddock as well, and did the job very well. Stall 18, a little bit of guesswork with a draw. I would expect the Wesley Ward runner to set a strong pace here in Laxfield Road. She's drawn in stall 5 on the other side, but I'm not going to let that put me off here, because I like this filly. In the paddock at Haydock, she is a real big sort. To be honest, pre-race, I actually questioned whether she would actually be quick enough for to win juvenile races, but she proved she oozes quality and did the job really well on debut. I think there's more improvement to come from her, and she would be the selection to get proceedings underway on Friday in the Albany Stakes.
Ashley in for Craig then in the Albany. Moving on to the 3 or 5 next, which is the King Edward the 7th Stakes. This is a group 2 over 1.5 miles. This one's for the 3-year-olds, and Stravagante heads the market at 9-4. It's 7-2 for Oman River, 4-1 for Balios. Festive Fair is 9-2. It's then 9-1 for Mr. Singh, and 10-1 and double figure prices for the others. I thought this was quite interesting, really, Craig, that Stravagante heads the betting, was supplemented for the race last week, but Ryan Moore, who I imagine could have ridden that one, he could have also ridden Father Christmas, has chose to ride Oman River.
Mm.
So is that key to you?
It could well be, Mark. It could well be. Oman River, of course, was a bit of disappointment in the Dante Stakes. And before that, he obviously found the mile too sharp at Newmarket, but didn't give a lot of encouragement in that performance. Was beaten a long way, and you know, I didn't see any improvement forthcoming in the Dante. It was one of two Aidan O'Brien horses to really run well below par in that race, and it's hard to recommend him on the back of such a poor run 36 days ago. Very interesting that Ryan Moore has chosen Oman River, obviously still held in high regard by connections, but I haven't seen anything visually to suggest that he can bounce back to his best tomorrow.
Yeah, he does have good form from last year, doesn't he? And the tongue tie goes on for the first time, so if he is working well at home, I can. It's just the imponderable in the race for me, but what will be more straightforward?
Yeah, I think Stravagante is the one to stick with, really. You look back to 2013, Hillstar came here off the back of a defeat in a handicap at Newbury off a mark of 92. And Stravagante obviously won a handicap on Derby Day at Epsom off 89. The handicap put him up 11 to a mark of 100. So he's entitled to take his chance here. You know, officially, the handicapper says he's £13 inferior to Oman River. But he's an improving horse. He's got less questions to answer. He comes here at the top of his game. And the way he sprinted clear in the closing stages at Epsom suggests the extra 2 furlongs will be very much in his favour.
Okay, Stravagante for Craig then. In the 3:05, moving on to the 3:40 next, which is the Commonwealth Cup. It's a group one over 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds. It's the inaugural running of the race. It's the first time it's happened. And the market headed by Limato, who's 4-1. Hootenanny is 9-2. 5-1 for Tiggy Wiggy. 6 for Anthem Alexander. 7 for Adair. 10-1 for Mohara. 10-2 is 14s and 16s or bigger for the others. Looking forward to this year, Craig.
Where's this race been, Mark? Where has it been?
Exactly, yeah.
What a turnout for the first running of this race. 18 horses, some high-class performers amongst them already with strong form in the book, some top-end fillies against some good-looking sprinting colts. What a fabulous start for the Commonwealth Cup, it has to be said.
Yeah, you could state a case for any number of these, Craig, so do you want a couple against the field here?
Yeah, I think we need to against the field market. It's a real good competitive race. Limato will probably start too short for me. He, I think, has produced his best form as a juvenile last year. He isn't the biggest. He doesn't possess a lot of scope. And I think there's a couple of horses here that will definitely improve past Limato. So he's likely to go off favourite, but I think he could be one to take on. The two horses I look to be with here is Hootenanny. Of course, was very, very impressive here at Royal Ascot, winning the Windsor Castle Stakes last year. He's a very, very versatile performer regarding trip. So this 6 furlong should be absolutely ideal for Hootenanny. And the other one who I've had marked for this race for some time is Ade, who actually beat Limato at Haydock last time in a Group 2. And a strongly run 6 furlongs on a stiff track will play to Ade's strengths, because he does all his best work in the closing stages of his races. He's still improving, he's still going forward, and I think he could probably be the best value in the race. He's 7-1 with William Hill at the time of recording, and I certainly couldn't put anyone off a decent each way bet with him, but also look to keep Hootenanny on your side at around 9-2.
Couple against field then for Craig in the 3:40, and we'll move on to the final race we're going to look at, which is the 4:20. It's the feature race on the Friday. It's the Coronation Stakes, part of the British Champion Series, a fillies Group 1 over a mile. This one also for the 3-year-olds, and the market headed by Found, who's 7-4. 3-1 for Ervidea. Lucida is 7-2. It's then 10-1 for Irish Rookie, and 11s or bigger for the others. So the market suggests it should be between Found, Ervidea and Lucida. Craig, do you see that way yourself?
Yeah, I think it will be, Mark. We've got proven Group 1 performers here. It's interesting to see that they've stuck at the mile for Found, because I thought in the Guineas at the Curragh that she was crying out for a step-up and trip. So very interesting that they stick to the mile. Ryan Moore again taking the ride. Ervidea, you know, comes here off the back of a Group 1 success. Slight question marks regarding the ground for her. She may like a little bit more juice in the ground. I think Lucida, 7-2, is a big price here, Mark. Horses that have ran well in our 1,000 guineas, coming off the back of a decent effort, straight to Ascot, have got good results, including the last two winners here. So Lucida really was a slightly unlucky loser in the guineas. She kicked on some way out under Kevin Manning in that race, and looked at one stage that she was going to win. Legatissimo obviously got into stride late and was doing all her best work at the finish, and just got on top and beat Lucida by 3/4 of a length at the finish. But a real good effort, proven for me that she trained on from 2 to 3, and off the back of such a strong run, she has to be of major interest in this.
Lucida for Craig then. In the Coronation Stakes, let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind, spinning us through our selections for day 4 of Royal Ascot.
Yeah, in the first race, Mark, the day kicks off with the Albany Stakes, Asher Dean for Kevin Ryan. In the 3:05, we're going with the Improver stepping up from Handicap Company and Stravaganti. In the 3:40, we're going to go 2 against the field. The main bet would be Arde, but look to keep Hootenanny on your side as well, round about the 9-2 mark. And finally, in the 4:20, we're going to go with Lucida to go one better than her run in the 1,000 guineas.
Superb. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. We go live with a half-hour build-up from 1:30, so do make sure you tune in for all of that. Dave Kellner, James Millman and John Budden will be the team in the studio. We've got day 4 of Royal Ascot. We've also got Market Raisin and Redcar alongside that in the afternoon. Goodwood and Newmarket provide the action in the evening. And we've also got a bit of Irish racing as well from Down Royal and Limerick. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.